There was a second grade religion teacher who had spent the whole year doing Bible stories with her children. And now on the last day of class, she invited the parents in to come and listen to what a good job she had done with the children in religion class during the whole year. And so she asked the children, what is the most important thing about Easter? Okay, and the first child raised her hand and said, the Easter Bunny. The second child raised his hand and said, Easter egg hunts. The third child raised her hand and said, Easter candy. Well, the teacher was worried that maybe she wasn't a very good teacher after all. But then one little girl raised her hand and said, I know. The most important thing about Easter is that Jesus came out of the tomb after 3 days. Well, the teacher then realized that she herself was a great teacher after all. And she said to the student, and what happened next? And the little girl said, he saw his shadow and went back in. Well, we as Christians know that Jesus Christ did not go back in the tomb. He was raised once for all, glorious and triumphant from the dead. The resurrection, today's feast of Easter, shows us that Jesus' greatest miracle, his crowning miracle, was his own resurrection from the dead. Our Lord Jesus Christ worked many miracles during his life, curing the blind, the lepers, the crippled. He even raised 3 people from the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He had been dead for 4 days. He raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead. And he raised the only son of the widow of Nain from the dead as well. However, those 3 individuals later died again, because their body was not a resurrected, glorified body. Jesus truly brought them back to life, but it was a natural life. What Jesus did for himself, what God the Father did when he raised his son from the dead, he gave him a glorious, resurrected body on Easter. And that was a different than Lazarus or the daughter of Jairus or the only son of the widow of Nain. Jesus' glorified body can never suffer anymore. It's perfect and glorified in every way. The Lord Jesus Christ predicted his own passion and death and resurrection many times during his life. He said, destroy this temple, referring to his body, and in 3 days I will raise it up. He told the crowd, just as Jonah spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man will spend 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the earth before he comes forth. Jesus told the disciples and the leaders of the people that he would suffer and die, but on the 3rd day he would be raised from the dead. So the Lord predicted it, prophesied it, and he fulfilled it by rising from the dead on Easter. When we look at today's gospel, we see Mary Magdalene had gone to the tomb early that Sunday morning. The stone had been rolled away. She looked in. The body was missing. She didn't know what to think, so she ran to St. Peter, the first pope. She ran to St. John, the beloved disciple, said, the Lord's body is missing. So the two of them start running to the tomb. Now, if you ever want to win a game of Catholic Trivial Pursuit, and the question is, who runs faster, Peter or John? The answer is St. John. He was in much better shape. He was younger, and so it says he got there first, but he did not go in, maybe out of fear, out of respect for St. Peter being the leader of the apostles. He just waited. Eventually, Peter shows up, and John writes, Peter arrived after him, and John was nice to Peter. He didn't say huffing and puffing, but that's probably what he was. And eventually, Peter just goes right into the tomb, and what do they see? Whatever they saw made them believe in the resurrection. And what was still there? What was there was the empty shroud. The empty shroud. See, when people were buried, the shrouds were about 14 feet long, 3.5 feet wide. The Lord's shroud was made of the finest linen from Joseph of Arimathea. And this shroud, when they would place the person in, they would fold it over and they would wrap it in strips of cloth. They'd wrap it in strips of cloth, almost like a mummy, okay? So what the apostle saw was an empty shell. The strips were still around the cloth. The cloth was intact, but it was empty. Jesus had passed through, just like he could pass through the doors of the upper room. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, passed through the shroud. And so it was still intact, still empty, like an empty shell. And that's why it says, John walked in, he saw and believed. And maybe he even saw the image that was made on the shroud as well from the power of the resurrection. And if today, if you study the Holy Shroud of Turin, which is considered the greatest relic in all of Christendom, it gives us so much evidence of the scourging, the crowning with thorns, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. In fact, those who study the shroud, even very recently, a lot more evidence has come out in support of the accuracy and the historicity of the Holy Shroud of Turin. In fact, all the scientific evidence points in favor of its authenticity. The pollen tests, the three-dimensional 3D imaging test, the infrared, the ultraviolet test. In fact, every bit of scientific evidence supports the authenticity of the shroud, except for the 1988 carbon dating. But that has been rejected by most scientists now because of the errors that were made in that carbon dating. If you read the recent studies of the last 25 years, especially the last couple years, you'll see the scientific evidence supports the authenticity of the shroud. It's now dated that the shroud originated not in the Middle Ages, but between 200 BC and 200 AD, indeed, during the life and time of Christ. There's a brand new app that just came out recently called Shroud 2.0. Okay? Remember that. It's a free app, Shroud 2.0. You can upgrade, pay a couple bucks, and get high definition images of the shroud. You can look at each of the details. The crown of thorns, the scourge marks over the Lord's entire body, the nails having gone through the wrists and through the feet, the pierced side, the swollen face from where the Lord was beaten, the marks on the back where the crossbeam was laid, the wounds on the knees where Jesus fell carrying the cross. It's all detailed there in amazing detail. So again, Shroud 2.0. Not only does the shroud give us insight into how much God loves us and how much Jesus suffered for us, but I believe it also gives us scientific proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because the only way that this image could have been made on the shroud, according to many of the scientists, is from an internal burst of light, power, heat, explosion of light, or some sort of almost like a little nuclear burst that occurred within an instant from within the shroud. And that, in a sense, scorched or photographed or burned this image onto the shroud in an instant. And what would do that except the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? When his soul was infused back into his body, and it let off this burst of power, radiation, heat, light, would have made this photographic negative onto the shroud. It is fascinating to read, and it can strengthen our faith in the resurrection. I encourage you to read and study about this, because science and faith are not contradictory. true religion and true science are not at odds. They are one because God is the author of true religion. He's the author of true science. So what I would recommend, and how do we apply this belief in the resurrection to our own lives? Well, I think it can be very encouraging because life is sometimes filled with pain or suffering, or maybe illness, the loss of a loved one, the death of a spouse or a child or a loved one. Life does not make sense if Jesus Christ has not risen from the dead. But because Christ rose from the dead, we know that this life is not all there is. There is a heaven. There is a resurrection. There is new life with Almighty God. When our loved ones pass away or die, that is not the end. It's the beginning of new life with Almighty God. If we have died with Christ, Scripture says, we shall also rise with Christ. And that's what the resurrection means for us. Life does not make sense unless Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That is the foundation of our faith as Christians. We know if Christ rose from the dead, then we as his followers will also share in his resurrection. And how do we apply that to our life? By getting to know Christ, becoming one with him, and participating in the sacraments. When we get baptized, we die to sin and are raised by Christ to new life. When we go to confession, we get rid of sin and we are restored to new life. When we receive the Eucharist, we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, his glorified, resurrected body under the appearances of bread and wine. So how does what Christ did 2,000 years ago touch our lives now? By the power of the sacraments. By baptism, confession, the Holy Eucharist, this is where we come into direct contact with the saving, resurrected power of our risen Savior.